evening.
I hope you're all well. Please join me in saying the Anna Bakoach. Anna Bakoach, Gedula Chimincha, Tati Tzerura, Aleph Bet Gimel Yud Taf Tzadi. These six letters have a gematria of 506, which is the same gematria as Ahavat Hinam, which translates as unconditional love. Kabel rinat amcha sagvenu tahalenu nora kufre shayin sintet nun. These six letters spell the words kra satan, which translates as tear up satan, tear up the negativity. The six letters can be rearranged to spell Sha'ar Katan, which translates as small gates. And it's a hint for us to guard the gates to our internal essence. The gates in our head, the eyes, the ears, the nose, the mouth, which constantly need guarding, because they're the entry point for the negative side. Na Gibor Dorshe Yehudcha Kevavat Shamrem Nun Gimel Dalet Yud Kaf Shin. The first three letters of this sequence, Nun Gimel Dalet, has a gematria of 57, which is the same gematria as the word zan in Hebrew, which means sustenance. Another word in Hebrew that has the same gematria is mizbeach, which is the altar in the desert and eventually in the temple. And it reinforces the understanding that parnassah is sustenance, and sustenance is the fulfillment of all of our desires. The altar was used to get closer to God. While we lack the temple today, we can use this sequence of Nun Gimel Dalet and the kavanah of our consciousness, the directed intention of our consciousness, to get closer to God. And through that action, we are able to receive the fulfillments of our desires. Yud Kaf Shin is a sequence that allows us to take back the energy that we've given to the other side through our mistakes. Chem Tacharem Rakamei Sidkatcha Tamid Gamlem Betet Resh Saritav Gimel. This sequence of letters connects to the Sphira of Netzach, which means eternal victory. This sequence of letters is a way for us to achieve eternal victory. Chasin Kadosh Biro Tuvcha Nael Adatach Het Kuf Bet Tet Nunayan. This sequence connects us to the Sphira of Hod, which in its ultimate level represents manifestation without the limitations of the physical world. It's spiritual manifestation. This sequence allows us to connect also to the two letters that we utilize during the month of Iyar, the Pei, which means mouth in Hebrew. And concealed in the Pei is the Bet, representing blessings. When we use our mouth properly, we generate the blessings in our life. The Pei that created the planet Noga, the planet Venus, and the Vav, the Vav that created the constellation Shore, which means bull, which means the Taurus. And together the Pei and the Vav have a gematria of 86, which connects us to the name of God called Elohim, which is a name of God dealing with judgment. And it's also the gematria of the word Hateva, which means nature, representing the spiritual laws, the natural physical laws in our universe, which ultimately are a manifestation of the judgment of God, the process of cause and effect, without the injection of mercy, of miracles. Yachid Geya Lamcha Pene Zokre Kedushatach Yud Gimelamed Pei Zayin Kuf. This sequence allows us to speed up the spreading of the wisdom of Kabbalah during this, the sixth millennium. And it also teaches us, by its connection to the Sphira of Yesod, of foundation, teaches us the foundation of all of the universes, all of the creative process, is through the wisdom of the Kabbalah. Shavatenu kabel Ushma tziakatenu Yodea Talumot Shinkufav Sadi Yud Taf. This sequence of letters connects us to the sphere of Malchut, of manifestation in the physical world. By looking at the gematria of these letters, the first two letters, the Shin and the Kuf, is 400. 400 represents the four worlds in their complete perfection of 10 sephirot within 10 sephirot. And the Vav, Tzadi Yud Taf, the last four letters, have the same gematria as the first sequence, 506, unconditional love. And we learn that the process of manifestation, the process of the creative process, must start with love and proceed step by step, always injecting the consciousness of love. And when this is done, we will see the fulfillment of all of our desires with mercy, which is the consciousness of love. And the eighth verse we say in a whisper, the whisper that is just loud enough for me to hear, but someone standing next to me would not be able to hear it. I'm now going to read from the Zohar, from the parasha of Achrei Mot, section 30, titled The Vav Has a Silent Aleph in It. Verse number 185. Vayhi Noam Adonai Eloheinu Aleinu Maasei Yadeinu Kunenei Aleinu Maasei Yadeinu Kunenehu. Rabbi Abba Amar Vav Amai Kalil Vav Aleph Vav Ela Vav Deyativ Al Kurseya Kada Avi Al Demut Hakise Demut Gemare Adam Alav Mil Mala Aleph Satim Gebegave Velait Kalia Vedahu Diktiv Binishvati Neum Adonai Bagika Keti Vela Ikre Batra Akelala Dekadmaa Batra Aha Okmimna Dayusod de Ihu Siuma de Gufa Uklala Dilevia de Kalilan Atvanda Veda Vavresha Vasiuma Kimadiokimna. This is actually a very long verse, and I don't really pick the verses before I read them. I just, whatever is the next verse in the sequence of where I am in the daily Zohar reading and studying that I do. So this verse translates, Rabbi Abba said, why does the letter Vav contain Vav Aleph Vav in this pronunciation? He answers, Vav, meaning Zeron Pin, sits on the throne, referring to Malchut called throne. As the verse reads, and upon the likeness of the throne was the likeness as the appearance of a man above upon it. Referring to Zeron Pin, the Aleph is silent within Vav and is not revealed, as the Aleph represents Arikun Pin, clothed from the center downward with Zeron Pin, and is not revealed outside of Zeron Pin. This is what is written, by myself have I sworn, says Hashem, as Zeron Pin swore by Arichan Pin, who is clothed within him. For this reason, the Aleph is written but not pronounced, meaning when we read the Vav, the Aleph is silent. and is not heard in its pronunciation, as it hints at Arik Anpin, who is concealed and incomprehensible. The last vav comprises the first, and we have established that the last vav is yesod, the ending of the body, tiferet, and comprises it all, as it is part of the body. Therefore, the letters are connected one with the other. Vav aleph vav, begin, being the beginning, and end, meaning tiferet and yesod, that are one. And the aleph represents Arik Anpin, clothed in tiferet, as we have explained. On its surface, the verse is saying that Zer Anpin includes all aspects of all the worlds. And we are hinted at that in the spelling of the Vav from the Yudke Vavke. Because the Vav is spelled Vav Aleph Vav. Gematria of 13, which is the word Echad, which represents one, which represents unity. And in this verse, it's explaining how the Keter level called Arik Anpin is concealed within Zer Anpin, because there's no revelation of Arik Anpin without a vessel, and the vessel is Zer Anpin. And Zer Anpin is represented in the metaphor of the four letters as the Vav. And the Aleph, which is not pronounced, doesn't have a sound. And when we read Vav Aleph Vav, we don't hear that sound of the Aleph. That Aleph is concealed within the Vav itself is representing the Arik Anpin, representing the level of Keter. And so we see that the central column is constantly is in full totality by the letter Vav, by the understanding of the verse and how the system works. Does anybody have any questions before we start the class tonight? This is a very interesting class. It's interesting because so many people over so many centuries have misunderstood this mitzvah. The mitzvah is called, in the list that I'm reading from, the list of the mitzvot, it's called to fear him. And without starting the discussion of fearing, it's incumbent on all people in all locations, both inside and outside Israel, and at all times, every day of every year of every person's life, we have the mitzvah, the positive mitzvah, to fear Hashem. The word in Hebrew that is used for fear is called yirah. And it comes from the shoresh, Reish Aleph Hey, which is one of the 72 names, which is the infinitive of the concept of seeing. But Yirah has two aspects, and it's frequently translated at the lower aspect, the level of fear. And many people who followed the teachings of the man from Nazareth over the centuries were misled by the understanding that the Hebrew God is a God of judgment, a God of fire and brimstone, who only wants us to fear him. But as we learned a few weeks ago when we talked about the higher well, the, talked about the positive mitzvah of loving God, which we cannot reach until we start with fearing God. In Proverbs, it says, the beginning of wisdom is to fear God. And in another place, it says, in the Deuteronomy, it says, what does God want from you but to fear him? And these are all corrupted translations, because what he wants is not our fear, but our awe. The consciousness to be so overwhelmed by the distance between me and Hashem, to be so overwhelmed by what God has created, to be so overwhelmed at the beauty and the pleasure that is available in this creation that he has given us as a gift. He does not want us to fear him. We have a whole discussion, which will take much too long to do tonight, of something called Torah Lishma, which is translated as Torah for its own sake. And the basic gist of this discussion, which is the overall kavanah of every mitzvah, do the mitzvah without your personal agenda. Do the mitzvah not because you want to receive something from God. You want to receive something from the universe. You want to receive something from the person you're helping. All of these acts that we do that share with other people, we are trying to do lishma for its own sake, without our personal agenda. But the teaching of Torah Lishma says that if we do a mitzvah, we do an action of sharing, lo lishma, not for its own sake, because we have an agenda, because we want something in return, that it's okay. It's not the correct way. But eventually, even if we start lo lishma with our own agenda, that doing the action of the mitzvah, connecting to the letters that cause us to change, we will eventually be changed to the point where we will reach the level of lishma without the agenda. And so it's okay to fear God, to say, I'm doing this mitzvah with the understanding that I will receive something in return, that I'm afraid I'd be punished if I don't do it. I'm afraid I will hurt myself if I do it wrong. That's the level of fear. It's the lowest level of this mitzvah, which we haven't even gone into the verse yet. But this whole idea of fear is to bring us to the level of awe. And this is the mitzvah of Yirah. The source of this mitzvah is in Devarim, in the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 10, verse 20. And I want to read it to you. Et Adonai Elohecha tira oto ta'avod uvo tidbak uvishmo tishaveya. Hashem your God shall you fear. Him shall you serve, to him shall you cleave, and in his name shall you swear. Why should I fear God? Why should I be in awe of God? Why don't I just accept the world is a beautiful place? And it's a gift to me that I just am given to utilize. Why do I need to appreciate it? Why do I need to be aware of it? Because ultimately, what this verse is saying we have the level of awe and fear. We have the level of serving. We have the level of cleaving. And the final statement, in his name shall you swear. I could talk a lot about the concept of swearing, which is the word tishaveya, but I don't really have the time. And the real issue for tonight is the concept of awe and fear. And how do we understand fear? How do we understand awe? And why is it okay to be afraid of God? To be afraid of God's punishment, as most people have been taught. So we need to clear up these misconceptions, because God never punishes. Never. He is not the source. He is not the cause of any pain in this world. There is never a reason to be afraid. It's not a question of being afraid of God. It's not a question of being afraid. There is never a reason to be afraid. As little kids, we're afraid of the boogeyman. We're afraid of those entities that are hiding in the closet. We're afraid of the dark. And little kids are higher spiritually than adulterated people, people who've grown to be adults like you and I. We need to understand what is this fear, what is the source of this fear. We live in a world that is the effect of the chet of Adam and Chava, the sin of Adam and Eve. We live in a world that has been lowered spiritually as the effect of this sin. And what was the sin? The metaphor is eating from the tree of knowledge, tov v'ra, good and evil. And actually, our sages teach us that we were supposed to eat this tree. We were supposed to eat from the tree of knowledge. But after we were mature, not when we were a few hours old, not when we were in a state of smallness as opposed to the state of greatness. As a child, we do need to fear, because we don't have the tools to cope. But as we reach maturity and we reach adulthood, we no longer need to fear. We need to transform this fear into awe. Hashem is truly amazing. The universes that we inhabit are truly amazing. The diversity of all of the life forms are truly amazing. The beauty of the physical world is truly amazing. The feel of the sun tanning us as we sit, receiving its energy, is so pleasurable that that pleasure is described in the Talmud as 1/60th the pleasure of Gan Eden, the Garden of Eden, of heaven. All of these things, do we need to fear? Or can we transform that into awe and appreciation? We live in a world that has been lowered by the sin, and this lowering has brought into existence entities that have the idea of hurting us, just as we have the idea of hurting other people, not because we truly want to hurt them, and these other entities do not wish to hurt us. They wish to receive everything for themselves, the essence of selfishness. The effect of selfishness is chaos. Should we be in awe and appreciate chaos? The truth is, many of us do, because we perceive chaos as normal. We perceive chaos as the way the world is supposed to be, and it's not. Yirah Hashem, the beginning of Chochmah, the beginning of wisdom. Reshit Chochmah, the beginning of wisdom. Yirah Hashem is awe of God. The beginning of wisdom can be fear, which grows into awe when one realizes there is nothing to be afraid of. We all will return to the endless. We all will return to the endless in unity. How amazing is that concept? Our creation is referred to as yesh miayin, something from nothing, because there is no desire to receive within the Creator. And how can something be created when that essence isn't in the Creator? There's no desire to receive in the Creator, and yet the Creator created desire to receive. Another name for which is human beings. Another name for which is the animal kingdom. Another name for which is the plant kingdom. Another name for which is minerals and the earth and all atoms everywhere in all of the universes. This is the creation. How can we not be in awe? How can we not be in fear? When we're taught, when we experience the touching of the stove as burning our finger as a child, and we see the creation of a sun in the universe, a little bit hotter than the stove, a little bit more intensive energy than the sun. How can we not be in fear? It's the certainty to know that there is nothing to fear, because Hashem loves us. The mitzvah we spoke about 2 weeks ago was for us to love Hashem. The essence of Hashem is love. The essence of Hashem is sharing. How can he share pain? He doesn't. We cause pain. We cause chaos when we share, meaning when we manipulate people with our selfishness, when we want for ourselves alone, we create chaos, and we have the choice, the beginning of wisdom, we have the choice to transform our fear, which many times is the motivation of our selfishness. I'm afraid that I will go hungry. I'm afraid there won't be enough resources to pay the rent. I'm afraid that there won't be something in this life that I'm afraid something will hurt me. How do we transform that fear into awe? Into appreciation. This is the mitzvah. To be in awe of Hashem. The mitzvah of loving God is not something we can do by ourselves. As we talked about it 2 weeks ago, we can reach a level where God gives us a gift to be able to love Him. Because God cannot command love, nor can God command awe. The difference between the two is by our choosing to appreciate what we receive, to appreciate the absolute amazingness of Hashem. We reach a level where Hashem gives us this gift to love God. The beginning of wisdom is awe of God, awe of Hashem. The result of that, the process of transforming fear into awe is service. The second part of the sentence of the verse that I read you. In other places, we describe being a servant to God or being a child to God, being a son to God, S-O-N. Understanding what is the difference of service and a son. It's another item we don't have time to go into tonight. But the process of transforming from fear to awe is done through service, through sharing, through having the consciousness that I don't understand why, but if I do this mitzvah, it gives you pleasure to see me do it. I don't understand that. It's not logical. Why should it give you pleasure? The closest we come to this is the relationship between a father or a mother and their children. When they are proud of their children, they have something called nachas, nachat, pleasure. Why should a parent be proud of his child? Why should he get pleasure from seeing his child and being proud of them? What is the logical understanding of this? There isn't. And yet, parents always feel pleasure when they're proud of their children, when their children do actions that surprise them, when their children do actions that show their appreciation. How do I serve God? By appreciating what He gives me, what He shares with me. Unconditionally. Whether I hate God, God forbid, or I love God, God gives me the same thing. God gives me pleasure no matter how much I abuse what gifts He has given me. This is how we can see in this world people who hurt other people, who are not good people, and yet they have all these resources. They're so wealthy because they've hurt other people and taken their resources. Where is the justice in the world? We often ask. How can good things happen to bad people? God doesn't care if we're good or we're not good. God just cares. Can you appreciate that? Can you say to somebody, enjoy. It's all right that you stepped on the little people. It's all right that you've hurt me. Enjoy. God is giving you such beneficence, such goodness. Enjoy. Can you do that? A servant does not fear his master, because through familiarity he learns to to appreciate his master. He learns to appreciate and to be in awe of his master. The tool to transform fear into awe is service. When we share with another person, we are sharing with our master, the godly part of that person. We are having the consciousness to give pleasure to our Creator. When we share with the expectation that I have no expectation, I'm sharing because I'm sharing. I have no agenda. I have no expectation. I just do it to give pleasure to the Creator. This is the ultimate level of service. And the effect of this is to cleave to Hashem. Cleaving is a whole discussion unto itself. It's one of the mitzvot that we will get to. Hit bodedut, cleave to God. God wants us to travel the universes, all of the worlds. He wants us to meet all of these entities that He has created. He wants us to make connection and learn how to be a servant and a child of God. The beginning is to fear, transforming to awe. Through service and cleaving. And then we will be given the gift, the last section of the verse from the Torah. We will be given the gift to swear in the name of God. Can I swear? What does swearing mean? It's reinforcing. It's receiving the goodness because my vessel can handle all that God wants to give us. There is an adage in English, as much as the calf wants to drink the milk, the mother wants to feed the milk. As much as we think we want, it's nowhere near what the endless world wants to share with us. Nowhere near what the Creator wants to have us receive. But the Creator knows that we cannot be created with the ability to receive everything, because we then would feel bread of shame. The Creator knows that the best way to receive is by building our vessel and transforming our selfish desires into sharing desires, into the ultimate form of sharing, which is to receive from the Creator in order to give pleasure to the Creator. Does anybody have any questions? Tomorrow night is Thursday night. We will have our Zohar session at 10 o'clock. Next Tuesday at 7:45, next Thursday at 10. I think we will be discussing Pesach Sheni on Tuesday, second Pesach, and also Lag BaOmer, and maybe have a beginning of a true sense of what is the Omer on a deeper level than we have discussed up till now. And next week on Wednesday, we will be discussing another mitzvah, the mitzvah of sanctifying his name. Shalom.